Some refer to the book of Luke as a great manual about both discipleship and prayer. In fact, when we read Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8, we find out about things such as the request, response, and results of prayer. And now, at this particular time, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright continues with part 1 of our series on prayer with today's sermon entitled Prayer, Motion with Emotion. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Lord God, we come before you once again asking for your blessings, Father, to continue on this service. Lord, thank you for the songs that were rendered. It prepares our hearts and our minds, Lord, once again to focus on you through your word. And Lord, I ask that your people hear you, that they hear you through your servant, Father. And Father, I ask, Lord, that they may be turned hearts and turned minds, turned wheels to you, that they may glorify and magnify your name. Because that's what they were created to do, to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, just a few things of introduction that I want to cover. One is, that was an awesome movie night. I enjoyed myself. I had some hot dogs and some popcorn and some Laffy Taffys. And all that stuff was good. You know, I must make an apology. I didn't know the general said that word. There was one word in there I just cringed on. I didn't remember that. I'm sorry. He said it in the church. We'll do a better job of screening in the future. Amen. Nevertheless, I think the kids will be very, very, very disappointed if we didn't have another one. So we're going to have another one. Amen, and I'm hoping to have another one in March, and then of course we'll supply the hot dogs and the Laffy Taffys, the popcorn, and you all just bring your own bean bags, and Kelsey brought a blow-up mattress. Hey, whatever works, amen. Whatever works, we were chilling, amen. And then hopefully in the future we will have other fellowship endeavors as well. Like in my mind I have like skating and bowling, and I got a lot of stuff that we can get into where hopefully it will be of little expense to folks. Amen. The other thing is my heart was happy to hear that there were like 25 plus people out on Tuesday night. That's awesome. That's awesome. And I heard that Elder Julian did an awesome job. And so that's where you get deep into the word. And these elders here, they can handle that. So I'm glad to hear that. And I just ask, You know, and that next week's report will be there was 30-something. Amen. So keep on coming. Keep on coming. And the other thing is Sunday school. You know, I say once again, come out to Sunday school. Amen. That's where, like I said, you get deep into the word. And you understand what God, this God that we serve, is all about. Today I come before you all from Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8. The scripture comes from the gospel of Luke. And this gospel, just to give you a bit of background on this gospel depicts our Lord as the Son of God. Savior not just to the Jews, but to all people in every nation. Therefore, it is considered to be the missionary gospel. The missionary gospel. In fact, some even say that the Gospel of Luke is the best manual for discipleship that was ever made. Amen. So if you want to know about discipleship, check out the Gospel of Luke. And some also consider it to be a gospel to the women, because right off the bat, you'll see characters such as Mary and Elizabeth and Anna, then the woman that anointed Jesus, and also the widow of today's text. So in a nutshell, Luke tells us that at the cross, the ground is level. Amen? There's no big I's and little U's. We all come, right? We all broken folks. Amen? Broken folks. Amen. And it's interesting because in Luke, in this particular passage, Jesus uses a widow to illustrate his point. A widow. Now, this is significant because back in that days, in those days, one of the lines in the prayers of men were, Lord, thank you for not making me a woman. But Jesus esteems women. Amen? And he gives us a lesson in prayer through this widow, this importunate widow. And that word, importunate, is a sermon within itself. This word means shamelessness. There was no shame in her game when she came to that judge with that request. Give me justice. Amen? No shame in her game. And in order to have that frame of mind, there must be some humility in there somewhere. Amen? Humility in there somewhere. And a sad fact is that our prayers are often hindered due to a lack of humility. We approach God and we step to God, and all of a sudden when we're talking to him, like I said last week, all of a sudden, it's not him being on stage. It's us being on stage. Amen? So our prayer is often infected because of the lack of humility. Amen? And sometimes we don't even pray at all. See, I agree with C.S. Lewis. He says there is a great sin, and the more we have it ourselves, the more we can't stand it in others. Right? And by its very nature, this great sin is competitive. It's competitive. It competes with every other person. And once competition is gone, it's gone. Right?
And with this great sin, you are always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something and someone that is above you. What's this great sin? Pride. Pride. It's pride that infects our prayers. Amen? And Jesus gives us a lesson in prayer through this parable of the widow. Now, the point of this story or this example is not that we are like the widow. And it's not that God is like the judge. In fact, it's the exact opposite, right? We are not like the widow, and God is definitely not like this judge. Amen? So as we look at this lesson, this parable, this story, we are faced, or we come upon our first point, which is the request in prayer. Now, praying has a proper pattern. And within this pattern, there's room for humble request. Simply put, you have to ask. You have to ask. At some point in your prayer, you ask. Amen? Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. This widow knew this judge. Reputation. He knew what judges were all about during that time. Amen? She knew that it probably would be a great chance that she would not be heard. But what she did is she went and she asked, right? She asked. And how often do we allow opportunities to go by, jobs to slip away, and relationships to dissolve just because we don't ask? Right? But as I stated, God has a pattern in prayer. We can remember this because even in Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 2 through 4, he gives us an example of this pattern, of this prayer. And we, of course, are here familiar with that pattern because it's the acronym A-C-T-S, right? Adoration, confession, right? Thanksgiving and supplication. And it makes sense because just think about it. When you begin your prayer with adoration and putting him where he's supposed to be, high and great, and you begin to think about him and who he is and all that he's done, and you see how magnificent he is and how glorious he is and how powerful he is and how wonderful he is, and the more that you increase him, the more that you increase him, the more you see that you're down here. So your heart turns to, naturally, confession. Lord God, forgive me. You see that? Logically, it says, oh my God, how awesome you are. Lord God. I'm reminded of a story in the gospel where Peter had told Jesus, you know, ain't no fish in that area or something on that line. And he knew it because he was the expert. And he was trying to tell God that there's nothing in that area. And then all of a sudden, Jesus said, cast, right? Right? And he cast his net. And once he cast his net, what happened? There was some fish, right? Right? Because he's God, right? And then all of a sudden, what was the response of Peter? Get away from me. Just go from me. Because you are so holy. You are so right. You are so awesome. I see myself for what I am. Right? and you make that confession. And then all of a sudden you realize all he's done for you. Wow, even though he's up here, right, and I'm down here, but he's made a way. Don't know how, but he did it. Yeah. Right? And then he made a way, and then you begin to give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And since prayer is not all about you, but it's about him, then you begin to think about all the ones that need him. Right? So you begin to pray for all the kids and the adults and everyone in the church, and you want to lift them up. You want to lift them up. Prayer is not about you being on stage. It's about him being on stage and you giving him his proper position. And there's no need to worry about yourself because he's got your back. Right? He's got your back. A-C-T-S, right? But you know, when folks give us a pattern or guidelines or rules, you know that human nature in us wants to what? Kick against. It's just like when Pastor Williams said that all of a sudden somebody paints a wall and they stick this huge sign on the wall saying, wet paint. Guess what that human nature in you wants to do? I just got to see. It's wet. It's wet. Right? It is wet. Right? Can't leave it alone. Just because the sign said wet paint, do not touch. Right? That's how we are. We kick against it. And the deep thing is that, just like one author said, our human nature craves independence from God, autonomy, right? And there's a big difference between autonomy and freedom, right? We want independence. We want to be our own God, our own man, our self-made man, self-made woman, and we go by our own rules and we determine the course of our life. We got it like that, right? That's not freedom. That's not freedom, right? Because in John 8:36, it says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free. Indeed, freedom is in Christ. Abundant life is in Christ. Amen? It's not in being your own God. Amen? God has it where it's this circle, if you will, if you can just imagine. And within this circle, this circle is his will. And within this circle, guess what you can do? That's freedom. Right? That's freedom. But what we say is, I want to make my own circle. Right? And outside that is nothing but misery. It kind of hindered my passion. All of a sudden, I began to pray in this pattern. And I saw that my passion in prayer kind of left.
And I said, wow, you know, what's going on? Because it's like, it's almost like routine. And when things get familiar, you know, we don't have the wherewithal to keep that fire burning. Amen? I mean, look at girlfriend, boyfriend. Right? Like I told y'all before. Can y'all hear me now? Okay. Yeah, now just like I said, that passion thing. Right? And look how when it gets familiar and somebody gets familiar, guess what we end up doing? You can hear B.B. King in the background. The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. you can hear it, right? In the background, right? Like I told y'all before, all of a sudden you sharp as a tack, because you know you're going to try to woo her, right? Right? You sharp. Like I told y'all before, you cologned all up, got your fresh haircut Beijing all on it, and looking crisp, looking crisp. Right? And here she comes, she's all, she just tight, you know, and just got it going, got it going on for you, right? Just as uncomfortable. But she's trying to woo you too, right? That's the beginning, right? That's the beginning. But like I said, that human nature, when it's familiar, all of a sudden you hear B.B. King in the background, right? Right? The thrill is gone. Right? Because like I told you before, all of a sudden, you come in there and you see him on the lazy boy with a wife beater on, Cheeto marks all on his T-shirt. Right? The thrill is gone. Right? But when you come to him, you got cold cream and curlers and, you know, and the thrill is gone. It's hard to keep that passion up there. That's because you got to work on it. Amen? You got to work on it. You got to work on it in your relationship, and you got to work on it with your relationship. Amen? You got to work on it with your relationship. You got to be conscious that this thing is about passion when you're going before him. Amen? So there's got to be in your movement emotion as well. It can't just be this dry run when you go before him, because he hears your heartfelt desires. We got a God that hears. And guess what? He also responds, which is the second thing. He responds. Our God never leaves us hanging. He responds to our heartfelt request. Amen. The widow's request fell on ears that belonged to a cold, cold heart. Right? And in those days, the people that got the judge's attention with those who could slide him a little bribe money. Amen? So those are the ones that got the judge's attention. And even worse, she ended up going to a judge that didn't care nothing about her or God. He didn't care nothing about her or God. He had no fear of God, right? So what would be her approach when she comes before this judge that had such a cold heart? What could be your response, your approach to someone that is not paying you any mind and any attention? Well, the example that came to mind for me was, you got to look at the children. Ma, Ma. What mom end up saying? What? What you want? Right? See, so the widow saw, you see through the widow that you have to troubleth. Right? Troubleth. That's what it says in verse 5. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Right? Trouble, that means disturb, unease, weary somebody. And he said, you know, my first response was, you better go. I mean, get somewhere, right? But then this troubling thing turned him to say, this girl is working my last nerve. I mean, let me do something so she can go, right? And that word weary, that word weary, when you look that up, it means to give a black eye, which means or implies that it's about the reputation, right? He did not want his reputation to get, like, hindered, right? To get messed up. So, hey, his reputation was at stake, right? So he had to go ahead and do something, right? So he responded. But here's the good news for us, saints. I told y'all, we are not like that widow, and God is definitely not like that judge. When we move towards him, right, with our heartfelt cries, he responds. He responds. And it's interesting because Wiersbe said this. He says that the widow and the judge, they were strangers to one another. But we're not strangers. We're children going before our Father. Amen? And guess what? He's a good, good Father. That's who you are, right? And he's perfect in all of his ways. Amen? And then he says in verse 7, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Now this avenge is different from the other avenge, the previous avenge. See, this avenge, the previous avenge means like revenge. But this avenge means that God is going to do something. And he's going to answer the request, right? He's going to do it, and guess what? When he does something, no one can take it away. What he does, no one can undo. Amen? Just like it says in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Of course, you know it's in his will. Amen? In his will. And prayer has results. Your request, then his response, it equals a result. Amen? It's a result. It says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That was the first verse. When he says in verse 7, by the way, bear long, I want to make sure that I point this out. Bear long means delay. Delay. Now, if I go on your definition of delay, I might lose heart. I might feel defeated. I might even be discouraged. But if I go on the biblical perspective of delay, then delay does not mean inactivity. You hear me? Delay does not mean that he is inactive. He said that he responds speedily, right? Speedily. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean that he is not doing it on your behalf, right? You understand what I'm saying? While you're trying to figure it out, he's already worked it out. Amen. He's already worked it out. So when God's children cry to him, guess what? His reputation is on the line. And he's going to make sure he responds to his children's needs. Amen. Got to go back to Brother Worsby again. And he says persistence in prayer is not an attempt to change God's mind. Thy will be done, Lord. But it's to get ourselves to the place where he can trust us with the answer. Where he can trust us with the answer. Amen. So often, we are messed up. We feel that we can pray to the Lord, and then if he doesn't instantaneously change our situation, then we either say, forget it, it didn't work, right? Or we get discouraged like we're not heard or anything at all, that it was no benefit in going to him. But the truth is that just because we don't see it doesn't mean that it's not being worked out. He hears us and he responds speedily to our request. I'm just excited about someone else's testimony. And I didn't get permission to share it, so I won't name names. But it was a situation where where it was a list of places that this person wanted to go. And she put the list down. I want to go here, then I want to go here, and I want to go here. And then, you know, hopefully I'll go here if the Lord's will, right? I want to go here, I want to go here. And then all of a sudden, there was no response from that list, right? And it seemed as if it was a situation where, oh, well, I have to go another route. And when plans were being made to go another route, a phone call was received. Amen. And when this phone call was received, what she saw is that the Lord had already worked it out. Already worked it out. That was an amazing testimony to me. An amazing testimony. God hears our prayers, saints. He hears our prayers. Here's the thing. The reason why I came with this series on prayer is basically to challenge us all to pray. This endeavor needs prayer. I stand on prayer. I stand on prayer. And I want you to know that I understand what this church means to folks. And that was a big reason why I said, Lord, help me to be what you need me to be. Amen? What you need me to be. In Luke, in closing, in Luke, you will find in the earlier chapters, there was a Simeon and an Anna. And these two individuals were praying to God. They were praying to God, right? For the coming Messiah. And their prayer, within their prayer, they was like, Lord, don't let my eyes close until I see him, right? Well, I have my own personal Simeon and Anna. And they give me that drive to make sure that I do a good job. Amen. My personal one is Deacon Chris. He's been here. And he's seen this thing go like this. And in his testimony, he says there have been nights where he has tossed and turned. And his heart is on this church. And his sacrifices, I can't even name them all. I can't even name them all. And you know, if he didn't help build this church, he'd know who did. Right? So that's my personal motivation, to make sure that he sees this thing be what it can be. So I don't have time to waste. I don't have time to waste. And here's my motto: if you're not at the table, then you're dinner. Okay. I don't have time to waste. I don't have time to waste. And then I think of Mother Woods. The sacrifices, the ups and the downs that they've seen this church go through. My prayer is that they see it turn for the better before they close their eyes. That's my motivation. That's why I do what I do, to his glory, because I know that their prayers will be answered. I know that they will be answered. And I want you to know that I won't forget it. And I can't forget the sacrifices. God hears their response, and the results will be to his glory. Amen? Will be to his glory. And I got a little something that I bought. Sacrifices that they make. It won't be in vain. It will not be in vain. Amen. So as we stand, we serve a God that answers prayers. But there's a prayer that we all must pray. we want a right relationship with Him, we have to confess.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.